Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. Today, we continue our coverage of the historic cuts to Medicaid and the GOP's budget bill, which Trump signed into law on July 4th. It is the largest wealth transfer from the poor and working class to the wealthy in U.S. history. The law, which includes $1 trillion in cuts to Medicaid, will strip 17 million people of their health insurance and could cost over 51,000, could cause over 51,000 people to lose their lives every year, according to projections from researchers at the University of Pennsylvania, Harvard, and Yale. That is 51,000 lost lives every year. Doctors and healthcare advocates say these cuts will result in overcrowded emergency rooms, higher costs, and the closures of rural hospitals, nursing homes, and community clinics, all while the most vulnerable, low-income patients delay care. The Washington Post reports that the only health clinic in Curtis, Nebraska, is shutting down, and the hospital's CEO is blaming Medicaid cuts. More than 300 rural hospitals are at risk of shutting down because of the bill, according to researchers at the University of North Carolina. So today we are talking with medical professionals about how they are preparing for what's to come. And if you have any questions about how you or loved ones or community members will be affected by these cuts, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. We are getting a lot of emails from listeners who are very confused about how and if they will be affected and when these cuts go into effect. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Today, we're joined by Dr. Shannon Yudovic-Constant, a board-certified general pediatrician practicing in San Francisco. Dr. Yudovic-Constant is associate clinical professor in pediatrics at UCSF and president of the California Medical Association, an organization representing California doctors who work for health equity and justice. Dr. Shannon Yudovic-Constant is a longtime advocate for policies to improve the health of children and communities. California has more children and youth on Medi-Cal than any other state, nearly 5.5 million statewide. Hi, Dr. Yudovic-Constant. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Great to have you. We're also joined by Dr. Rob Davidson. Dr. Davidson has been an emergency physician for over 25 years. He takes care of families in small communities across West Michigan. Dr. Davidson is executive director of the Committee to Protect Healthcare, an organization made up of thousands of doctors fighting for quality, affordable healthcare that protects patients over profits. Hi, Dr. Davidson. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Rose. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So first off, can we provide some context here? So 71 million people are enrolled in Medicaid across the country. An additional 7.3 million children are enrolled in the Children's Health Insurance Program. And that covers kids from families whose incomes are modest but too high to qualify for Medicaid. So these programs cover a lot of people. And I think it's so important, Dr. Yudovic-Constant, to really think about this, because we're talking about people who have incomes at or below about 138% of the federal poverty level. And in California, that's about $21,600 for an individual and about $44,000 for a family of four. So can you talk about what you would like to add for context? And I just think it's really important to focus on these numbers.
Yes, absolutely. These aren't just numbers on a page, right? These are a lot of our patients. This makes up a very large segment of our communities. And in my practice, because I am a pediatrician, you know, half of all children born in the state of California are on the Medicaid program, Medi-Cal here in California. And so this legislation has very, very wide implications. And I think what's also so important is that when such a large segment potentially loses access to care, it actually will affect all of us, because the diseases don't go away. And you don't, if you don't have a place for routine care, then you wait until it's more advanced and then you go to an emergency room. And so then even those who are insured outside of the Medicaid program will have impact to them as we see increasing times in our emergency waiting rooms.
We're talking about people who are really struggling to make ends meet. I mean, to live in California and make about $22,000 a year, that is, it's so difficult to pay your bills and pay your rent. And I think this is what's getting lost in some of the conversations, Dr. Yudovic Constant. I mean, we're talking about some of the country's most vulnerable people here.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, we were here in California making great strides towards making sure that not just all of our Californians had insurance, but that we were stabilizing the Medicaid program to really guarantee access. Because access to healthcare is really necessary for everything. We need a healthy workforce. We need our children to be healthy to learn. And when you don't have a healthy workforce, it has really large economic implications in terms of our local and state and county tax bases. And so this is really, really crucial. And again, I think we're still understanding the full implications here, but this is really significant legislation that just passed.
Dr. Davidson, what would you like to add? And what would you say to people who are very confused about whether or not their Medicaid might be cut?
Yeah, I mean, I think to add, I mean, I'm in an area that's not nearly as expensive as California, and still someone living on that that wage would be incredibly difficult with the rising costs of housing, food, and then healthcare costs. I mean, they routinely go up multiples of inflation every year. It's just not something people can afford. When I was a kid, we didn't have insurance for big periods of time. Back in the 70s, I had asthma. My sister had complicated diseases as a kid. But it was a different time, you know, and a lot of these senators and members of Congress voting on this sometimes harken back to those times when people could just, you know, try to be healthy. I think I heard Dr. Oz say, you know, don't eat carrot cake and stay healthy, and it's okay if we're taking away your Medicaid. And it's like, it just isn't. The realities are people still have, you know, chronic diseases. Doesn't matter how healthy they behave in their regular lives, they still happen. And I will attest, in the emergency department for over 25 years, people do come in and get diagnosed with advanced cancer, advanced stages of kidney disease and heart disease. And the vast majority of people who come in at those stages are people without insurance or people who are frankly underinsured, who can't afford co-pays, deductibles, can't afford routine care. So, I mean, that to me is why these cuts are so drastic. You know, Medicaid, as it's been portrayed in the media by some folks who support these cuts, that, you know, people are somehow profiting off of this system, that they're sitting, we hear the tropes about people sitting in their parents' basement playing video games, collecting Medicaid. And let's just be accurate here. Medicaid is insurance. Nobody gets a check or a debit card or a benefit from Medicaid unless they seek care. Medicaid pays for routine doctor visits and prescriptions and emergency visits and emergency surgery. And so, you know, if you can't get those routine visits, the emergencies become more prevalent and become more emergent and more complicated and more costly. And then still people have to go to the hospital, even if they don't have their Medicaid. And then the hospital has to eat the cost of that. And it eventually gets passed on to people who have insurance and higher premiums, because, you know, no hospital and no insurance company is just going to eat all of that. They're going to pass it on to consumers. And so really, whether or not it affects you on Medicaid is critically important for those individuals in the moment. But for people who have insurance, this will impact you as well.
And Dr. Yudovic Constant, what would you say to people who are wondering if they are going to be cut, if their Medicaid will be cut? Because this is not going into effect until after the midterms. But we're getting a lot of emails from listeners who say, Will my Medicaid be cut? How will I know? How can I prepare?
That's a really important thing to be thinking about. And I would say that it is really important for all of us to take a little bit of a breath and remember that many of these policies will not roll out for the until several years from now. And so what I say right now is our offices are open, our hospitals are open, and it's really important that you continue to seek out your medical care, especially your routine and preventative care right now, because you haven't lost your insurance just because this was signed into law a few weeks ago. And then at those visits, you know, please check in with your physicians as well as your other healthcare providers to ask, you know, what are the potential implications for the way you are insured? And are there some things that you should know about? And we'll be doing our best to provide a lot more education in the coming, you know, months to year to just make sure that the public understands, you know, how to make sure that they can maintain their insurance and their access.
And the California Medical Association reports that health system contractions are projected to eliminate about 217,000 California healthcare jobs. With fewer patients insured, California's hospitals and physicians are expected to face $9.5 billion in new uncompensated care costs over the next decade. I mentioned the clinic that is closing in Curtis, Nebraska. The CEO is blaming the Medicaid cuts. Do you think that we'll see clinics and hospitals in California close before these cuts go into place?
We are very worried. I think that we know and we knew that there's many rural hospitals especially, as well as some community clinics that were already operating on extremely low margins. And so we are doing our best to understand sort of where those potential risks lie and figuring out how we can try to shore up the system so that we do maintain access to care across this entire state. But it is a very large risk that if you are already operating on really low margins, that there may be closures that we face as a direct result of this. And those were the messages that we carried into our visits with members of Congress, was that this will impact your communities. And I think it's really important that we continue to share with those who were elected to serve that this is impacting the vulnerable people that they really were positioned to help to serve.
And before we let you go, what else do you want listeners to know about the importance of Medicaid and Medi-Cal here in California, especially children, since you're a pediatrician?
You know, I think that it's so important that we provide healthcare to everyone, you know, that insurance be available to all, because without health, it's really difficult for everything else. And it's so important that children are healthy so that they can go and that they can learn, that their parents are healthy so that they can go to work to bring home the money that they need to raise those children. And we know that prevention saves money. And so maintaining access in the lowest cost locations, which is primary care and a medical home, is what is most important. And so we will continue to advocate very loudly and very strongly to bring that message home. There's going to be some really important conversations happening at the state level as we look at some of the budget deficit that this will leave in our state budgets to make sure that we do the least amount of harm in terms of maintaining access to care for all Californians.
Dr. Shannon Yudovic-Constant is a board-certified general pediatrician practicing in San Francisco, associate clinical professor in pediatrics at UCSF, and president of the California Medical Association. It's an organization representing California physicians who work for health equity and justice. Dr. Yudovic-Constant, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for the conversation today.
Thank you. Today on Your Call, we are continuing our coverage of the historic cuts to Medicaid. We're speaking with healthcare professionals about how they are preparing for what's to come. If you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Dr. Rob Davidson will be with us for the hour. He's been an emergency physician for over 25 years. He takes care of families and small communities across West Michigan. Dr. Davidson is also executive director of the Committee to Protect Healthcare. Dr. Davidson, Michigan expanded Medicaid coverage through the Healthy Michigan Plan in 2014, and states were able to expand Medicaid because of the ACA. What were some of the immediate changes you saw as a result of Michigan expanding Medicaid coverage?
They were profound and have been profound. I've been an ER doc in the same rural hospital since 2002. And I can honestly remember, and so you get to know people even in the ER in these smaller communities. You see families, you see, you know, the same patients at various times. And I remember people coming in, you know, with high blood pressure, with high blood sugar, sort of off the charts. Maybe they weren't super sick at the time, but certainly sick enough to warrant coming in. And oftentimes you could discharge them with a prescription, a couple months worth of medications perhaps, but many of these people didn't have any insurance. You know, they were working multiple jobs, didn't qualify for work insurance, you know, kind of made a little too much to be on Medicaid. And then after this passed, I'm telling you, I can remember individuals who you'd see for something else, you know, maybe an injury in the summer, twisted ankle, what have you. And you'd note, hey, they're on meds, you know, they're managing, they have a primary care doctor. And these are folks who benefited from expanding that Medicaid population, giving insurance, you know, to more individuals who maybe didn't fit below that federal poverty line, which is not anywhere close to, you know, a living wage, certainly in California, but even here in a lower cost place. Those folks now had health insurance. They were living better lives. They could, you know, they could work more, right? They could provide for their families more, but frankly could just, you know, live better lives and not run the risk of dying prematurely from complications of diseases that are being managed for people who do have insurance.
Yeah, and just going back to what I was talking about earlier, this just shows that so many people are just struggling to get by in this country, given that 71 million people are enrolled in Medicaid. And again, in California, we're talking about $22,000 a year about for an individual, $44,000 for a family of four. And so this is life-changing. I think it's really important to also point out that 10 Republican-controlled states have refused to expand Medicaid. And when you think about the ramifications of this, let's just look at Texas, for example. A 2019 study published by the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities found that states choosing not to expand Medicaid resulted in an estimated 15,600 premature deaths among adults aged 55 to 64 nationally between 2014 and 2017. I mean, this is just devastating, Dr. Davidson, to think that people in states like Texas and Florida, I mean, they could have had health care, but Republicans in their state said, no, we're not going to expand Medicaid. And as a result, there have been preventable deaths.
Yeah, I mean, it must be hard just to read that. It's hard to hear it. You know, I know that's true. I mean, part of what we have advocated for is expanding Medicaid in many of these states. Hopefully Wisconsin, here, a neighbor of ours across the lake, is the next one to do it. If they can get their elections in order and get people in there, that will expand it. Mm-hmm. But it is, and it's, I don't know what the driving force is. Certainly people in elected office being completely out of touch, not understanding. I heard Senator Mark Wayne Mullen from Oklahoma say, well, there are 70 million people on Medicaid, and 35 million people under the federal poverty limit. So we need to reinstate Medicaid for the truly needy. So suggesting only people under the federal poverty level. But even people living in that world where you get expanded Medicaid, you know, making another $8,000 or so, like those are folks who still struggle. I mean, I know people who tell me, you know, I had a patient the other day needed antibiotics, and he said, well, I can afford about $20. Can we do it for that much? Mm. The antibiotic I wanted was going to be more than that. I found coupons online and got him to the correct pharmacy and found him something that was going to be about $18 for the course of treatment. But those are the decisions people are making, $20 at a time, you know, where a muffler falling off their car can send them into debt. Certainly a medical bill for appendicitis, you know, an unexpected visit if they, you know, they broke their ankle, you know, just kind of living their life, that can throw people into an absolute crisis. And not having insurance amplifies that so much. Having Medicaid, like you said, it is life-changing, life-transforming, and life-saving in so many of those cases.
Well, let's hear from a caller. Let's go to Greg in Palo Alto. Hi, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you. Let me just throw out a couple of facts and then deal with the real issue I called about. One is that California's reimbursement rates on Medi-Cal ranks us at 37th in the nation. Okay? We have some of the lowest Medi-Cal reimbursement rates in the country. Secondly, when you're talking about low income, people on SSI are living with an income of under $15,000 a year, okay? They get medical coverage, and then they get another $240 in food stamps. But that's not why I really called. The real issue for me is whenever this issue has been brought up in Sacramento, single payer, expanding Medi-Cal, et cetera, everybody, including the Democrats, Newsom, we don't have the money. Where are we going to get the money? You know, Anthony Rendon blew up the single payer care. Well, here's something that I just noticed when I did a Google search. France has a population of close to 70 million people. The California has a population of a little bit close to 40 million. France has a national GDP of $3 trillion. California has a national GDP of $4 trillion. France covers every resident in France head to toe with universal health care. How can they afford to do it, and people in the state of California claim that they can't? The reason is they don't want to tax people. That's how you make payments for your medical coverage. That's what they do in France, but they're not willing to do it in California. So that's the reason we're stuck in the situation we're in.
Well, this is a great comment, Greg. Thank you. I'm just looking up the healthcare system in France. And according to a couple of articles, it looks like dental is even covered up to 70%. Can you imagine? I think this is a really important point, Dr. Davidson. Here in California, we do have a bill called CalCare, which would guarantee health care for all. And the last time it was brought up was last year. The last time it was brought up, it didn't get to a vote. And yet we have a Democratic supermajority in California, which means you don't even need a Republican to vote on a bill in order for it to pass. So that really does say a lot about political will, you know, in a state like California. What are your thoughts about this? Because at a time when so many people are going to be losing their coverage, what do you think is going to happen around the conversation about health care for all, which we see some form of health care for all in so many other wealthy countries, like Greg pointed out?
Yeah, we do. And I think that's a great comment by the caller. I mean, I think it's really in the end setting priorities. You know, I'm not sure the intricacies of the deal making and the priority setting in the California legislature, but certainly with this budget that Congress passed and that the president signed, they set priorities, right? They prioritized huge tax cuts for extremely wealthy people and corporations over healthcare for poor people and for you know, middle-income people. We didn't even talk about the 4 million people currently getting insurance through the Affordable Care Act exchanges that are likely to lose their insurance over the next 10 years, as estimated by the Congressional Budget Office, because they're not extending the tax subsidies for people to buy insurance. So these aren't Like, these aren't people under the federal poverty limit or even at 128 or 140%. These are, you know, sort of middle income folks who this is how they can get insurance. So I do think it comes down to priorities, you know, as an individual physician, but as the head of an organization of 36,000 doctors around the country whose only mission is to fight for pro-patient policies that make healthcare more affordable and more accessible and more equitable. We think it's criminal that these priorities are made that prioritize, you know, tax cuts for wealthy people over healthcare for everybody else. You know, I guess the hard conversations will have to be accelerated given the number of people who are going to lose coverage, and we'll have to see how comfortable people are leaving people, you know, kind of hanging out to dry like they will.
Well, to your point, the Los Angeles Times has a piece about what we call Covered California here, and they found that premiums, your monthly premium, could go up by 60% because of this bill. So, and this is going to happen very soon. We're not talking after the midterms for the ACA.
Right. And so individuals then have to prioritize spending within their budget. People have to pay the rent, right? They have to make their house payment and pay their property taxes, or they'll lose their home potentially, right? They have to pay for the groceries at the grocery store. People don't have to have insurance, right? If they have diabetes, hypertension, you can go years with those diseases, you know, damaging your body, damaging your heart, your brain, your kidneys, without feeling the impacts of those things. And it isn't until you then present to the ER and kidney failure or having a heart attack or a stroke that the real ramifications of that those untreated diseases comes to fruition. And so when people are faced with, you know, a budget that is finite and the prospect of going into financial ruin or being able to put food on the table and a roof over the over their kids' heads, often healthcare for them and their families gets pushed to the wayside. We all know this. Our lawmakers should know this. I think we have to keep reinforcing that. We do as an organization. I know the previous guest with the California Medical Association, they do when they lobby. But I think all of us do, you know, physicians and patients and folks like you in the media alike.
Well, thank you again, Greg. It's such an important comparison given that France's population is almost the same as California. So we'll definitely do a show about healthcare in France, because you often hear people say things like, well, European countries are so much smaller and there's no way that we could have some sort of healthcare for all system in this country because there's so many people in this country. But the France-California comparison is really interesting. So we'll definitely do a show about that. Today, we're joined by Dr. Rob Davidson. He's been an emergency doctor for over 25 years. He takes care of families and small communities across West Michigan. He is also executive director of the Committee to Protect Healthcare. This is an organization made up of thousands of doctors across the country fighting for quality, affordable healthcare that protects patients over profits. Today, we are talking about the historic cuts to Medicaid and the GOP's budget bill. The law includes $1 trillion in cuts to Medicaid. Researchers at the University of Pennsylvania, Harvard, and Yale say this could cost over 51,000 people to lose their lives every year. 51,000 people. And then the latest numbers, 17 million people could lose their health insurance. If you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email your call at kalw.org. We'll be back after this. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will air the recent live show we hosted at the San Francisco Public Library about this country's caregiving crisis. Assemblymember Matt Haney was on the panel, and we did talk about universal health care, which he does support in California. And so I hope you can tune in for that important show tomorrow. We also wanted to let you know that the Senate has to vote by Friday on the rescission bill. And that is the plan to eliminate $1.1 billion for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Because Republicans control the Senate, all eyes are on Republican senators. Will enough vote no to kill this bill? And they've got to do it by Friday in order to cut this funding. So we'll be following this also this week. If you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can email yourcall@kalw.org. And if you'd like to join today's conversation about historic cuts to Medicaid and the Republicans' budget law, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. Today, we're joined by Dr. Rob Davidson. He's been an emergency physician for over 25 years in West Michigan. He's also executive director of the Committee to Protect Healthcare. And now we would like to welcome Kelly Hardy to the show. Kelly is Senior Managing Director of Health and Research for Children Now, a California nonprofit that works to improve kids' health education and overall well-being. Kelly Hardy has worked in health policy at the federal, state, and county levels for many years, focusing on Medi-Cal and the uninsured. Hi, Kelly. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, what concerns you the most about these Medicaid cuts, which again, will go into effect after the midterm elections, and people are just really concerned about the timing and whether or not this is going to apply to them?
Right. Well, for us at Children Now, as you can imagine, we're focused on how the cuts would impact kids and families. Of course, there's impacts on everybody in every state and across the nation. But California has more kids on Medicaid than any other state. We've got nearly 5.5 million kids on Medicaid, which is called Medi-Cal here. And Medicaid is really a cornerstone of our healthcare system, as I'm sure you've heard from your other guests. So we're very concerned that kids are going to lose coverage and are going to lose access to care, as well as, you know, just overall impacts on the healthcare system, especially in rural areas. There's going to be less access to care for everybody overall.
Can you lay out for us how this is going to affect children? I've heard other doctors in other states give examples like, you know, kids actually go to the ER because they have horrible asthma, and doctors are able to provide them with an inhaler, for example, and then they're able to ensure that they can be seen in a couple of months for a follow-up. Doctors say these Medicaid cuts will prevent that from happening. And so it's just going to be so inefficient and even more expensive. So can you give us some real life examples of how these cuts will affect children?
Absolutely. And we're, you know, working really hard along with so many partners to make sure that as few people lose Medicaid coverage as possible. But there's really no way to cut billions of dollars from Medicaid without hurting kids and anyone else who needs healthcare. So, you know, your asthma example, when if a kid has poorly controlled asthma and goes into the emergency room and gets an inhaler, they can be set up with what we call a medical home. So a doctor that they can see on a regular basis to get preventive care to manage the asthma so that it doesn't flare up and wind them in the emergency room again. If kids don't have health coverage, if we go back to the bad old days, in 1998, nearly 20% of our kids in California were uninsured. They just didn't have access to regular healthcare services to get the vaccinations they need. We know there's a measles outbreak really across many parts of the country. And preventive care is so important for not only saving money further down the line, but preventing further pain and health concerns, and really chronic health concerns that can impact kids throughout their lives and cause them to be less productive and less happy.
And Kelly, this is a time when we need more health care, especially for children. NPR had a piece last week, and they focused on a new study in the journal JAMA, and they found that Dr. Christopher Forrest and colleagues at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia found that the health of America's children has significantly worsened across several key indicators since 2007. They found that a U.S. child was 15 to 20% more likely to have a chronic condition in 2023 than a child in 2011. In particular, the prevalence of depression, anxiety, sleep apnea, and obesity all increased, as did rates of autism, behavioral problems, developmental delays, and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So to think that things are getting worse for children in the United States, and then these Medicaid cuts will just make this problem even worse. I mean, we need more care for children in this country.
We certainly think so. And these cuts are a very backwards way to look at the world. Not only are there Medicaid cuts, but I think it's very topical to bring in the cuts to food assistance, which will hurt the same exact kids. About nearly 400,000 California families with kids are going to lose an average of $77 a month in food benefits. That might not seem like a lot, but it could really be the difference between a kid who's well-fed and healthy and one who is more prone to get infections or not be able to pay attention in school because they're not well-fed. And so these are really, my point there is just that these cuts are hitting the same kids and families from many different angles and making it harder to raise healthy kids with all the vaccinations they need and all the really easy, cheap preventive care that they need in order to grow up healthy.
The Urban Institute says that just over 3 million California families will lose at least some of their food assistance. And we're going to be doing a show about that on Thursday. Dr. Davidson, what are your thoughts when you look at the numbers? We've been doing a whole series on health for the past 4 or 5 months, just because chronic diseases are on the rise in this country. Nearly 6 in 10 Americans have at least one chronic disease. 4 in 10 have two or more. This is according to the CDC. So what are your thoughts about how these cuts will affect these diseases? I mean, we're talking about cancer, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, Alzheimer's.
Yeah, and to echo what Kelly said, a time when we need more healthcare, not less. It's sort of a backwards way that they're going about this. And listen, some of the increased diagnosis of chronic diseases is better diagnostics. It really is. And that's fine. And we can all agree some of it is that. But the key is then we are diagnosing some of these conditions earlier, right? And catching them before they've exerted significant impacts. You know, it used to be that you would be diagnosed with cancer once it was nearly terminal in a lot of cases. And now many, you know, cases of cancer are very manageable. I mean, just HIV/AIDS in my lifetime from the 80s was a death sentence and is a very manageable disease now, a chronic disease that people can live long, healthy lives if they have access to medications. And if we're taking away affordable healthcare, if we're taking away insurance for millions of people, that will result. I mean, you have the numbers. The statistics are terrifying to hear the number 51,000 people a year. Mm. But you know, over a lifetime working in the ER, I've seen people who don't have insurance, people who have coverage, but it isn't adequate. Their copays, their deductibles are all too high. People who delay. I can remember a man who came in with an empty inhaler at 3 o'clock in the morning, just gasping for breath. We had to put him on a ventilator. And the answer was, I don't have insurance. I couldn't afford a new inhaler. I don't have a primary care doctor. Mm. And something that could have been avoided ended up in an absolute, you know, tragic and a hugely expensive outcome for this individual. Another person who waited 5 days having chest pain came in heart failure. Their heart was at 20% of its normal function. And they didn't come in because they said, well, I couldn't afford it. I finally got to the point I couldn't walk up the stairs, and that forced me to come in. These are the realities. And really, as a physician, this is critical, but as a health advocate, that's part of our job. And I know for us as a group of physicians, that's what we try to do, tell the stories of our patients, tell the stories of how this impacts individuals, because sometimes statistics aren't moving to people, particularly people in power, but stories sometimes can be. So I think we have to continue to tell those stories.
Well, and I think what's going to be devastating about this, Dr. Davidson, is NPR had a piece about how in many states across the country, Medicaid is called something else, like healthcare or protect our kids or something like that. And so a lot of people don't even know that they're going to lose their Medicaid because, I mean, they interviewed one man and he said, I'm not on Medicaid. And they said, well, actually you are. It's just not called Medicaid.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And so I think how we communicate, I mean, a lot of us in public health learned this during the pandemic, how communication is so important. You know, having the information and knowing it is one thing, but it's making sure we connect with people who need to hear it. And then the other piece of this that I know I'm very concerned about, you know, working in a rural hospital and a rural community, is the ripple effects of people losing Medicaid coverage on those entire health systems. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a lab X-ray primary care office, multi-specialty clinic that specialists come to from the big city. And with people losing Medicaid, the hospital is losing a significant source of revenue. And hospitals, you know, working at razor-thin margins, especially rural hospitals, they're going to have to cut services. Those services don't just go away, or those hospitals don't just go away for people on Medicaid. For everyone in those communities, that means longer transit times when you're having a medical crisis. That means less access to primary care, less access to testing that you may need to keep you healthy, and just a bigger burden on people's lives getting somewhere an hour away instead of something just down the street. So even if you don't have Medicaid, please understand the impact that these cuts may have on you and your family.
Kelly, what are your thoughts about the ripple effects of this law?
Well, one of the things that we have been talking about a lot that will impact more people before the midterm elections is that there will be changes to Affordable Care Act insurance as well. And there's really an interaction between all of these types of health insurance, right? We have a hodgepodge system, and for the most part, it works as long as you're covered. But one of the changes that's going into effect soon is that approximately 1.75 million Californians, including 115,000 kids, will lose their tax credits to offset the cost of their health coverage through Covered California or the Affordable Care Act. And that's going to just increase costs on families. For example, a family earning $130,000 here in the Bay Area, that's not a ton of money. They'll have a 101% increase in premiums, almost $10,000 increase. And that's just something that is taking responsibility from the federal government and putting it on states and families and low-income people and middle-income people rather than sharing the burden so that we can have a healthier healthcare system.
And we'll definitely do a show about how people who receive their healthcare through the Affordable Care Act will be affected by this. We have a question from Sandy who says, what impact will the loss of Medicaid be for children in foster care? Kelly?
That's a great question. For the most part, children in foster care are supposed to, and I'm putting heavy air quotes on that, supposed to be protected from cuts to Medicaid. As Dr. Davidson and I have been saying, there's no way to cut billions of dollars from Medicaid without hurting the entire system. And so kids in foster care are also going to feel impacts, as well as sometimes be caught up in the sort of red tape that's newly being imposed by the federal government, and perhaps lose their coverage as collateral damage. So these systems that are meant to exempt certain populations do a really terrible job at doing that, and make states put new systems in place and spend money on creating red tape for people rather than creating healthcare and health services for people. It's really grotesque, and I wouldn't feel comfortable saying that any population of kids or really any population is going to be spared the consequences.
Well, Sandy, thank you for the question. And I just found a piece at KFF Health News by Cheryl Platzman-Weinstock. The piece is called "The Foster Care System Has a Suicide Problem. Federal Cuts Threaten to Slow Fixes." And she focuses on the LGBTQ plus suicide lifeline that the Trump administration shut down. She also reports that children in foster care use a disproportionate amount of Medicaid-funded mental health services. Dr. Davidson, I haven't seen many stories about Medicaid-funded mental health services. Do you know how these cuts will affect those services?
Yeah, like Kelly said, and she's right. I don't think there's any individual or any system that will be have no impact from this. Community mental health is a huge service for mental health for folks with Medicaid and folks without insurance. And the problem is, even if you say a group of people based on their particulars will not get specific cuts to their individual coverage, if you have a CMH office that has only so many psychiatrists, so many therapists, so many, you know, so much space that they can actually see people, and you take away significant amount of their funding from whatever source, say people, you know, this red tape, the so-called work requirements, which really is just work reporting requirements that creates barriers to working people and people with exemptions to keeping their Medicaid. If you take money out of the system because so many people are losing Medicaid, those CMH offices, they can't just stay open and have all the services available for people who supposedly are exempted, right? They're going to trim back their services, potentially in some cases go away altogether. And so the collateral damage would be people, particularly people in foster care or otherwise who should have been unaffected, will absolutely be affected, whether it means longer time to go see someone, longer waits. We know people having crises in behavioral health, waiting a few more days can be the difference between an ER visit, a lengthy inpatient hospitalization, or even them losing their life because they weren't able to get the care in a timely manner. Mm. I think it's really grotesque. Kelly used the right word that we should all be using.
Well, thank you for that important question, Sandy. Let's hear from another caller. Let's go to Gina in Berkeley. Hi, Gina. Thanks for holding.
Oh, you're welcome. A good program, Ruth. I've had the opportunity to be able to see closely what's been going on the last 50 plus years. My first husband was a physician who became a holistic dermatologist. What I realized, that people can have knowledge, people can be organized, people can have good health care plans, and we need to redefine what is health and health care, because it involves, you know, the wonderful services we have. People need to be able to know what's their part in their unhealthy lifestyle. And that's not going to change overnight. And we've got to change our priorities. Obviously, so many things have to be changed with the tax code and the defense spending. So I just wanted to say people are doing an amazing job with against the odds. And what I've learned is how much responsibility I have to have, even with my knowledge, to put healthy practices into place.
Mm. Well, thank you for that call, Gina. And there's so many shows to do around this, is how to really build the healthcare system, because so much of it is so broken. And we've done so many shows about this. Dr. Davidson, what are your thoughts about Gina's comment? And then a couple people are emailing saying, you know, what's to come here? If this doesn't go into place until after the midterms, is the only way to reverse this is to wait until the next presidential election and to just, this is what people are saying, the hope that a Democrat will win? And then how long is it going to take to rebuild all of this?
Yeah, I think the caller definitely makes a good point, and we all do have a responsibility and you know, maintaining healthy lifestyles. But I mean, I can look to a close friend of mine who at the age of 39 was diagnosed with a glioblastoma and died within 5 years. Mm. This was the healthiest person I ever met. He was a vegetarian, he was normal weight, he did triathlons and marathons, and was stricken with this disease. My best friend just had to have a hip replacement, a healthy runner with, you know, normal weight, great lifestyle, just bad genetics, you know? So there is a truth to some of that, but the reality of our bodies is that they all fail at some point in some way. And we should have a system that pays for us to be able to see a physician to go, you know, get care we need. You know, regarding what's next and what can we do about it, in some respects, for the most part, yeah, that is probably the biggest thing we need to do is elect individuals who will prioritize, you know, people over profits, people, you know, kind of poor and working income people over the extremely wealthy. And I know our organization will spend a lot of energy and resources and effort in the midterms to try to shape the outcome. So we do have individuals who will do that. We have to look at the concerning things we're already hearing about possibly another budget reconciliation package they want to put through this year. Certainly another one next year if control is maintained by the majorities that are there now. And, you know, who knows what kind of damage could happen. The vast majority of the opposition in the U.S. House, the folks that eventually kind of reversed their opposition and voted for it, were people who thought the cuts weren't steep enough. They weren't from the people who were concerned about cuts to Medicaid. Those folks spoke up just a bit, and then they all kind of folded. The other side that was looking for more, they're still going to be there. And if they have the majority, you know, there could be more to come. So I think that's important that we think that way. How long will it take? Who knows? It's not like a spigot. You can turn it off, turn it on. So it's going to be probably a generation of impact from this if we can reverse the trend in the next several years.
Wow. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you both so much for joining us to share this very important information with listeners. Dr. Rob Davidson has been an emergency physician for over 25 years in West Michigan. He's executive director of the Committee to Protect Healthcare. Kelly Hardy is senior managing director of health and research for Children Now. They work to improve kids' health, education, and overall well-being. California has more children and youth on Medicaid, it's called Medi-Cal, than any other state, nearly 5.5 million statewide. Dr. Davidson and Kelly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.